The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
For such a time, bringing the fountains of God's work to all the servants and saints. Hosted by Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead, author, teacher, founder, and senior congregational leader of Arrowhead Messianic Congregation in Peoria. And now, Rabbi Moorhead.
Shalom, shalom, shamashim, kodashim, shel elyon, to the saints and servants of the Most High God. I'm so glad to be with you again today, and I'm sure glad you have tuned in with me to listen to this broadcast. So we have been teaching the Word of God in all different kinds of fashions and ways, and hopefully increase the knowledge of everybody to prepare them for this coming day and hour upon the earth where the Lord's return is almost imminent. So we want to prepare our hearts and prepare ourselves. I firmly believe we're in the last 50 years. Maybe even into the last 40 years now, and but that doesn't mean that it can happen right now. But it does, but it probably will all come down the second coming of the Lord within the next 40 years. So those times are coming, and people say, "Well, people have been saying that, you know, for years." You know, but well, that's exactly what the Scripture says. In the last days, they will say, "He delays his coming." And they've been saying that all the time, and. So be careful with that, you know, when you say stuff like that, because the Lord actually stated that people will not be prepared. They will say he delays his coming. So be aware of that. We need to get right with God. We need to be walking with God completely, Lord, getting ready for him. I do want to mention, you know, my new books, you know, the Moedim of the Lord, the Appointments of the Lord, and King James calls it Feast. I have that book out, a new book out, and and the second book is called Law versus Grace, to let you know that there is no grace without law. You have to stop, think about it for a moment. There is no grace without law. So why does God's grace come into play? Because we have sinned against him. We need forgiveness of sin. That's why we need his grace. What is sin? Violation of law. Law's in effect. So people teach that the law is gone, don't know what they're talking about. Basically, when Yeshua said in Matthew 5, not one jot or tittle will ever go away from the law till all be fulfilled. Last time I looked out my window, all has not been fulfilled. So there's still a lot that has to happen yet. But also understand the law was given on the 50th Jubilee. What's a Jubilee? 50 years. Cycles. And so it starts with Adam. So 50th Jubilee would be about 2,500 years after Adam, the law was given in that 50-year window. Jubilees are always these 50-year windows. So in that 50-year window, the law was given. What does 5 mean for 50? 50 with a 0, 5-0. 0 always means divine appointment. 5 means the grace of God. So basically, when the law was given to Mount Sinai, the grace of God began at that point. It's very important to understand that concept. And so, does that mean now that because we have the grace of God that we can do whatever we want? No, because there's consequences, you know. There, in the kingdom, there are rewards given out to the saints. And not all has to do with what you did with the Lord, what you did with your life. There's positions in the kingdom. You know, and people used to tell me, no, I don't believe that there's positions in the kingdom. We're all in the same position. First of all, that's not true, because it actually tells you in Matthew 5, that anyone who teaches someone to break even the least of my laws will be considered to be least in the kingdom of heaven. That's the least of the laws. So where will you be if you taught people to violate a major part of the law? You won't even be anywhere near the kingdom. You might be saved, but you won't be anywhere near the kingdom. So position and awards all has to do with our obedience to God. That's why Yeshua came. He said the kingdom of God is like, in all his parables, the kingdom of God is like. Over and over again, he said these things. This is to warn us, you know, that there's more than just trying to be saved. There's the idea that you have to walk in the newness of life. You have to work out your salvation, as the Apostle Paul said. Strive for the mark of the high calling. These are all statements that were made by the Apostle Paul that has to do with our walk with God. These are important. They know these things. So if your church is just constantly teaching grace, 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 and not teaching you to be obedient, then you might want to reconsider finding some place that would teach the whole truth of the gospel and not just part of it. These things are important because the Lord's coming and you're going to stand before him. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us that we have a foundation in Jesus Christ. What do we build upon that foundation? Wood, hay, and stubble, or gold, silver, and precious stones? Because in the fire, the trial of fire in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at the bema seat of the Messiah, tells us that fire will try to burn up our works. If it is of gold, silver, precious stones, the work remains. It's not talking about real gold or real silver or real precious stones. It's talking about the things that are important to God. So that fire will come and burn up all the wicked and all the bad works and all the dead works. And that which is precious to God remains, and then whatever remains determines our position and rewards in the kingdom. And it also goes on to say that if all your works are burned up, then yet you shall be saved because you had salvation in the foundation, but yet you won't have anything to show for it in the kingdom. So you don't want to be a naked believer. You want to try to get the things that God has for us. Like the Apostle Paul said, you know, that the garments of light, you know, shining the glory like the degrees of the stars in heaven. We want the high degrees of the lights of the stars of heaven to be upon us. Our garments of light, which is part of our rewards. So when you shine in the heavens, the others around you will know that, you know, how you were rewarded by your life on the earth. And those things are important. We want to seek the mark of the high calling. It also says we want to work out our salvation. That's not work for salvation, but work out our salvation. So all these things are major things that we need to learn in God's word, and pastors need to be teaching it. Why is it that only 30% of the pastors out there have a biblical attitude? That 30% of the pastors out there have a following of the Bible? That's terrible, because if only 30% of the pastors have a following of the Bible, their congregants will be much less than that. That's why some people say that believers, only about 5% of the believers out there have a biblical attitude. That's terrible. And I know there have been evangelists in the past who blame pastors for that. It says, who is to blame for a falling away? Who is to blame for people walking away from God? It's the pastors, because they are not teaching truth. They are not standing up. Why? Because they either are afraid, or they're afraid that people are going to walk out of their church, that they've, you know, invested all this money in building major churches, and they don't want to lose people because they need the funds to pay their mortgages and all these kind of things. Well, I'll tell you what, pastors, you're going to lose out, because God's going to hold your feet to the fire for not teaching the truth. And your people, when they're standing before the bema seat, are going to be asking you, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you tell us these things? So what's important is teach the truth, not play games with God's word, not to be fearful about losing people. It's better for you to lose everyone because you taught the truth than it is to keep everyone and not telling the truth. So these things are very important for believers and pastors to understand. And because my congregation, we teach the truth. We teach the details, even about sin and about overcoming and about all these things. We teach these things. And it affects how many people come to our church. And yeah, it affects, you know, the people in the church. And we teach other things too, but we are not afraid to teach the whole truth. It's better for us that we do that. I have to answer to God for everyone he gives to me. And I don't want any of my congregants that the Lord gave to me in that judgment seat looking at me going, why didn't you tell me? Well, I don't want that to happen, so I will tell them. So I will be without excuse also in that day. So it's important that we do those things about law and grace. So those two books are available at the bookstore, Arrowhead Messianic Congregation, but you can also get them online at Amazon.com. I just now released a brand new book called The Tabernacle of Moses and the Believer's Walk. It's all about the details of Moses' tabernacle and Exodus and all the details that go with it and all their meanings, the colors, the shapes, the sizes. All these things have great meanings, all the vessels. And it's all about a believer's walk. All of it's about a believer's walk. You know, this just wasn't random things that God picked and chose. He had a pattern. He told Moses, build the tabernacle according to the pattern I showed you in the kingdom upon the mountain. So these things are important that the Lord, Moses built them according to the pattern that the Lord showed him. So but that book's now just now released. And it's got some pictures in it and everything else for those of you who like pictures. Well, I like pictures. It's always fun to look at pictures. But that book is now available on Amazon also. So, or you can get it at our bookstore at Arrowhead Messianic Congregation. All right. So what else have we been talking lately about? Yeshua in the Tanakh. This is important for us to understand. Yeshua in the Tanakh. You know, the scripture tells us that Yeshua is found in the volume of the book, Psalms 40, verse 7, and Hebrews 10, verse 7, that he is found in the volume of the book. What does that mean? That means that Yeshua can be found in the scriptures of the Old Testament, particularly the Tanakh. I mean, I explained this last week what Tanakh means. Tanakh is just the Old Testament, but it's the acronym of TNK, Torah, Nevi'im, the prophets, and Ketuvim, the writings. This is what this means. So Tanakh, that's for a Christian, that's the Old Testament. So, but, you know, I don't like to use the word Old Testament because it makes it sound like everything that was said in the Old Testament is null and void. That's not true. That's why I don't like to use the word Old Testament. The New Testament is just a continuation of the Old. Both of them come into play, and both of them are useful. So I don't particularly like using the term Old Testament. We started last week on Psalms 22, talking about Yeshua in the Older Covenant. And I think we had left off around verse 6 of Psalms 22, where I talked about the scripture says, but I am a worm, and no man is a reproach of man and despised of the people. And I talked about that. What does that mean by I am a worm? Well, that particular word in Hebrew for worm is tola. And tola is not the same as the other definition of a worm as a maggot. Yeshua didn't say that he was a maggot, but he is a worm, a tola worm. What is a tola worm? A tola worm is a worm that the female attaches itself to a tree, lays its eggs, and larvae comes out and starts feeding on the female. And when the female dies because of the larvae eating on her, she stains the wood red. That's symbolic of the cross and the blood on the cross. And verse 7 of Psalms 22, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head. It's a mocking. We see this in the New Testament that they mocked him all the time. They mocked the Lord. And how sad that is when they did that. They mocked him. You can see this in Luke 23, verse 35 and 36 and 37. And they talked about, well, you saved others, but you can't save yourself. So they were mocking him when he was hanging on the cross. And so that's very true what happened there. Verse 8, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. All right, so basically what it's saying is that Yeshua delighted in the Father and trusted in the Father and said he only listens to the Father and he prayed to the Father all the time. So the mockers are all saying when he was hanging on the cross, all right, so if he trusted on the Father so much and God so much, let God deliver him. And of course, that did not happen because Yeshua came to die. Do you understand that concept? He came to die. That's very important that we understand that he came to die. And unfortunately, so many people do not understand that, and they persecuted the Jews for hundreds of years, saying they killed Christ, they killed Christ. Well, he came to die. Yeshua said, I lay my own life down. No one takes it away from me. He came to die. Now, why did he come to die? And because he came as the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God who bared the sins of the world and for all those that call upon his name. And so he had to die. God sent him to die. That's why he was God in the flesh. He was the Word of God in the flesh, because it had to be a perfect sacrifice, an absolutely perfect sacrifice. You know, the sacrifices that were offered to God of lambs and goats and bulls and rams and things like that, you know, that they had to be repeated all the time because they were not perfect. But Yeshua was perfect. So when he died for our sins, it was a perfect sacrifice. It was a perfect atonement that took place. And so he came for that. Yeshua was without sin, and he came and was the perfect sacrifice because he like John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that who shall ever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So that's what he came for. He came to die. And when people are all mad at the Jewish people because, and I'm Jewish, but they all get mad at Jewish people, say, you killed Christ, you killed Christ. Well, that's because it was planned. It was planned that way. It pleased the Father to bruise him, as we see in Isaiah 53. It pleased the Father to bruise him. Now, why would it please the Father to bruise him? Because God knew we needed a Savior. God knew we needed atonement. And so all who looked upon him would be saved. Yeah. How many of you know the story of the brazen serpent? The brazen serpent in the book of Numbers. Very important concept. When they were complaining about their journey out of Egypt into the wilderness, God sent poisonous snakes among the Hebrews. And the poisonous snakes began to bite the Hebrews, and many Hebrews died from the bite. So Moses prayed and turned to God and says, God, what do I do? What do I do to stop this? And he says, build yourself a brazen serpent, set it on a pole, and anyone bitten by a snake shall look at that brazen serpent and shall be healed. That surely seemed like a strange request by God to Moses. I'm sure he thought twice about it. Okay, if you say so, Lord. But it really is a fascinating situation, because serpent, a snake, is cursed. We learned that in the Garden of Eden. The Lord said, you are cursed. And also, anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed. And it's made out of bronze. And anything that's made out of bronze is subject to judgment, or is part of judgment. So you had all these things going for this brazen serpent. So that which was caught, cursed, is hung up on a pole. And then when you got bit by a serpent, that cursed you also. But when you looked upon that which is cursed, you shall be healed. This is the way Yeshua works. So when we've been cursed by sin, we have been bitten by sin, we have been bitten by Satan. So we have a cursed life. That's why we have death. That's why we die. We die and we don't live forever right now, because we live a cursed life because of sin in the world. And so we have been bitten by the poisonous snake. We have been bitten by Satan. And so when we look upon that serpent, upon that pole, which is looking at Jesus on the cross, we shall live and be healed. And that's how that brazen serpent concept works. We look up and we're healed. That's absolutely amazing. The plan that God put together on that. That which is cursed is cursed. All these cursed concepts dealing with the serpent on the pole. And yet, when we look at it, we are healed. That's the brazen serpent conflict in the book of Numbers. And so what a great plan God did for us. And so he became the Tola. He became the worm that gave his life to all its children, and stained the wood red, talking about blood, that we would have life. Verse 7 of 22 says, and all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, and they shake the head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him. See, he delighted in him. Wow. Okay, so we talked about that. When Yeshua was on the cross, they said, let's see if the Lord delivers him. And then when he started speaking out, and they said, oh, he's calling to Elijah. Let's see what Elijah does. They're all waiting to see some kind of miracle that would happen on the cross. But there was no miracle. He came to die, and God was going to allow him to die because we needed this lamb. We needed this high priest. We needed the forgiveness of sin. But it's still amazing to me today that, I remember getting a phone call one time in my office from an Orthodox Jewish guy. And he was all mad at me and everything else because he apparently watched one of my messages online or whatever. And he was all mad at me saying, I shouldn't be saying what I'm saying and all these kind of things. And so I just finally asked him and said, so how are your sins forgiven? He says, well, our rabbis say we have to do charity and good works to have our sins forgiven. I said, no, that's not true. It says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It's the blood that forgives you, not your works. Works are important after you're saved, but until you get saved, it's the blood that is important. And I said, so what saved you from your sin? And the guy got all mad at me on the phone and started cursing me out in Yiddish, And I had to laugh at him. And he goes, I said, you need the blood. He goes, I know where you're trying to go. I know what you're trying to do to me. I said, you're the one that called me. What do you mean what I'm doing to you? And so we had this big row on the phone for a while. And finally he cussed me out and he hung up on me. So the guy did not want to admit the fact that Yeshua is what he needed for forgiveness of sin. He'd rather believe that good charity and good works will deliver him from sin. It will not. It's a good thing to do once you're saved, but before you're saved, works cannot save you. But we are called to righteous deeds after we're saved. But if you're not saved, works will get you nowhere. And so he didn't want to listen to that, and he finally slammed the phone down, cussed me out in Yiddish. So I thought that was kind of, I'm sorry, I started laughing at him, and I just made him madder. Also, what made him mad is I kept calling him my friend. My friend, my friend, my friend. I'm not your friend. Quit calling me your friend, but you are my friend. He's just getting madder by the minute. So, but, what does it say? Paul said, to reach the Jewish people. How do you reach the Jewish people? You provoke them to jealousy. They got to see their God through you, and they got to be jealous for that. And so, unfortunately, many Gentiles have provoked Jews to hatred. And that's not good. You don't want to do that. They got to be provoked in jealousy where they can see their God through you. That's what's important. And so we got to do those things. And so I still think about that and chuckle and laugh about what happened there. And Psalms 22, verse 12 says, many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls, the bulls of Bashan, have beset me round about. This is talking about leaders, the Pharisees, scribes, Sadducees. This is what I mean by these bulls, because just like a bull is offered for forgiveness of sins on Yom Kippur for the household of Aaron. Verse 13, they gaped upon me with their mouths as ravaging and roaring lion. So all these Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and priests were just bad-mouthing Yeshua to no end while he hung on the cross. So this is biblical fulfillment. Psalms 22 has got a tremendous amount of things in it. And this is important to understand how these all these scriptures that were that he's found in the volume of the book, all these things he's found in the volume of the book, and so Yeshua is all over the place, and it's important that we know that this was all planned out. God made this plan from the beginning, and then when he sent his son down here, it was all a plan. He left his first estate and came down and took on a body of flesh and became a human being. This was all planned because he loved us so much. He loved us with a great love, and we need to understand he left his great authority in heaven to come down for us. Well, God bless everybody. We'll talk to you again next week. It's been a wonderful week, and I'm glad you stayed tuned with me this week. And so be blessed, and may the Lord pour out his love and his strength upon you. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen and amen.
For Such a Time with Messianic Rabbi Alan Moorhead. You can join them Friday nights at 7 p.m. or Saturday mornings at 10:17. Arrowhead Messianic Congregation is located at 10738 North 75th Avenue in Peoria. Find us online at myamc.org. That's myamc.org. Until next week, thank you for listening to For Such a Time.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.